1 John 3, verses 4 through 10, these are God's words. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. One of the things that the Apostle John was writing in order to combat was a false teaching in the churches that it was okay for Christians to go on sinning. In fact, there were some who called themselves, or who came to be grouped together and called Gnostics because they claimed special knowledge, and part of the special knowledge that they claimed was that once you were a spiritual person, it doesn't really matter what you did with your body. You could be righteous in Jesus and go on sinning with your body, and that was just fine. And of course, this is not just theologically false. It's extremely wicked. And so in these seven verses, the Holy Spirit by the Apostle teaches us about sin and the Christian. And the first thing he teaches us is the nature of sin in verse 4, that sin is lawlessness. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Sin is so bad, so heinous, because it is against who God is and what God is like. And not only is it against who God is and what he is like, but our God has kindly revealed himself to us. In his goodness and kindness, he has given us his fatherly instruction, his Torah, his law. And when we sin, we not only sin against that divine character of God that is obvious in the creation that he has made known within ourselves, we even sin against what he has told us in his word. We sin against his self-revelation of himself to us. And so sin is dreadful indeed. Lawlessness is the proof that we care not for God and we spurn his making himself known to us. So sin in and of itself is dreadful. Well, Christ then is the solution to sin. We see in the next two verses, you know that he, that is Jesus, was manifested, was revealed, to take away our sins. This is true in two different ways, at least. And I'm thinking especially now of the two different ways in verse 9 of the first chapter of this letter, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, which he does by the righteousness and sacrifice of Christ, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which he does by the life and light of Christ in us. So Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, to take away both our sins' guilt and our sins' power, and eventually even our sins' presence. In him there is no sin. So it can't be like those false teachers were saying, that you can be a Christian and just go on sinning. No, in Jesus there is no sin. He is against sin. When the Christian sins, he does something that he is against. He does something that he is killing. He does something that he hates. He does something that, by the grace of God, he is doing less and less. And so Christ is the solution to sin. He was manifested to take away our sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. To whatever extent we sin, it is because we are not abiding in him. We believe in him, but we're not dwelling in him, getting our life in him, getting our life from him consistently, thoroughly, perfectly. But the more we do, the less we'll sin. And the less we do, the more we'll sin. And so abiding in him leads to sinning less. Sinning never comes from seeing Jesus or knowing Jesus. Seeing him and knowing him does not mean that we can sin more and feel okay about it. That is not what seeing Jesus and knowing Jesus means. It means we are forgiven of our sin and we are guaranteed to win this battle. Seeing him and knowing him means fighting against sin, means working righteousness. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So that's Christ, the first part of Christ as the solution to our sin. He takes it away, verses 5 and 6. The second part of Christ as the solution to our sin is in verses 7 and 8. He destroys the works of the devil. Now, in verses 7 and 8, he talks about destroying the works of the devil. And he begins what we're going to see even more in verses 9 and 10, that a person's relation to sin shows whether he's a child of God or a child of the devil. So there's this great big cosmic battle. Jesus was not just manifested to take away sin, verse 5 says. He was manifested, verse 8 says, to destroy the works of the devil. So when we live according to our original nature, when we live according to the nature that we have in the first Adam, we do the works of the devil. We sin. The devil is the sinner from the beginning. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. He's the innovator of it. He's the author of it. He aspired to make himself God, and he did create something. He created sin. He created that which was not like God, that which is opposed to God. And so he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. When the Jews were rejecting the Lord Jesus and questioning him about his father, he told them they're of their father, and their father was not God, was not Jesus' father. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Because they were sinning, because they were rejecting Christ. And so there's a command here, and the command isn't just not to sin. The command very specifically at the beginning of verse 7 is to not be deceived. Little children, let no one deceive you. Why? Because the devil and everyone who participates in the thinking of the devil is going to tell you that it is okay to sin, that you can be righteous and work sin. And he says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who works righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God is manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's like Titus chapter 3, which begins by urging believers in the first couple of verses to be gentle and quiet and godly, because we too were once foolish and disobedient, full of all manner of sin, he says in the third verse, and then in the middle of the chapter, he opens the gospel of justification, and the kindness and love of God appearing, and he saved us, the gospel of sanctification, washing us and renewing us by his Spirit so that we wouldn't sin. And by the time he gets to the close of the section there, verse 12 or so in Titus chapter 3, he tells Titus to make sure that those who profess Christ seek to live lives of godliness. Why? Because one of the main things that Jesus came to do is to destroy the works of the devil. That's God's will for you, your sanctification. God's will for you, that you would sin less and less, and that you would obey him more and more. When we sin, we are not acting according to our new nature in Christ. We are acting according to that which remains from our former nature, that which Jesus is bent on destroying, and which we, along with Christ, must be bent on destroying too. Whenever we sin, we strike a blow on the wrong side of the cosmic battle that our God and Savior Jesus Christ came to wage. And so, does someone who is a Christian ever sin? Yes. Does he ever sin from his new nature? Absolutely not. And that brings us to the last point in verses 9 and 10, distinguishing between the children of God and the children of the devil by how they relate to sin and righteousness. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, that is God's seed, remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. So two things here. First, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's because you have been born of God. And if you have been born of God, you cannot be unborn of God. If you have been born of God, you have a new nature. And yes, there is that which remains in you from your former nature, that sin which remains in you, but its days are numbered. It must eventually vanish. And the seed of God that is in you cannot be lost. And it cannot lose. It must win. And so live according to your new nature in Christ. Every thought, every word, every desire, every action comes either from our new nature, that which will be forever, that which comes from the seed of God, that which is born of God in us from Jesus by his Spirit, or it comes from our former nature. It comes from that which is a work of the devil and enslaved to the devil, and even a child of the devil. Verse 10 divides the whole human race into two races. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. So Jesus is manifested, we are manifested, and now the difference, the Son of God was manifested in verse 8, he was manifested, still Christ, in verse 5, and now the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested, are revealed, by doing what? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So the contrapositive of that, of course, is true. That if we are born of God, if we are children of God, then we will work righteousness. Because that's what the seed of God in us does. That's what the life of God, the life of Christ in us does. We will work righteousness. Anyone who does not practice, anyone who does not work any righteousness at all, does not love righteousness, does not think or speak or do righteously ever, person can't possibly have been born of God. The only thing that is in him is that which is of the devil. He's a child of the devil, as verse 10 says. Jesus is this great divider of the whole human race. So that old liberal song, and I use that in a theologically technical way, the word liberal meaning not believing in the inerrancy of the Bible and the necessity of the atonement and the genuineness of salvation and the gospel and so forth. There's an old liberal song that says, with God as our Father, brothers all are we. No, that's actually not true. With God as our Creator, creatures all are we. But the only ones who have God as their Father are the ones who have a new life in Christ, who have a new birth from God, who have the seed of God in them. And everyone who has that works righteousness. And the righteous working that we are doing will one day be the only working that we do, because eventually the works of the devil will be destroyed. Jesus is not a failure. He is succeeding at what he came to do. And our former nature will be completely gone. And there will only be that which is from God, from Christ. Therefore, let us work righteousness. Let us love our brother. If this is the great work of God in history, to redeem his elect, to bring them to himself in Christ, to fill them with his Spirit, to destroy the works of the devil so that their former, what remains from their former nature is slowly, eventually, completely obliterated, then ought we not reflect our Father and our Savior by loving our brother too? Everything he's done in all of human history is for the love of the elect, that electing love that is adopting love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the great way, the great distinction between the children of God and the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Whoever does not love his brother is not of God. God grant that we would work righteousness and love our brothers. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we are very thankful to you for giving us the ability to gather for a few minutes, to call upon your name, sing your word, to consider your word. We pray that your Spirit would lift our hearts to you in thankfulness and love for adopting us as your children in Jesus Christ, and that even what we have just now enjoyed from you and with you in your worship would prepare us for our participation in the prayer meeting. Grant it, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.